All right. For those who don't know me, or I'm a new face for you, my name is Sharice Tillman, and I'm going to be, oh, cool. Y'all are so kind. but I'm going to be going over the spirit of prophecy and really kind of diving into how to grow in the prophetic. And we're going to be looking at our focus today is really to build an understanding, a foundational understanding of the spirit of prophecy. And we're going to be looking at the purpose, the protocol, the process, and the practice, okay, of these things. And when we look in scripture, and Pastor John did a great job kind of outlining for us a little bit of where those references are of spiritual gifts. And the thing about prophecy, the gift of prophecy, or the spirit of prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. So the spirit of prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. And it's actually the one gift that you actually see appear in every one of those lists of the spiritual gifts, right? Do we have that up? Okay, yeah. So in these reference scriptures here, you're going to see the gift of prophecy. So there is an emphasis on the gift of prophecy. And historical Bible scholars note, and I just thought this was so cool, that prophecy occurs in at least 14 of the local churches mentioned in the New Testament. It's the most mentioned gift in the Bible list, as we just went over. It's the most explained gift in Scripture. It's the most edifying to the whole church. It's the most revealing of God's will, the most available to all believers, the most used gift by the Spirit in Scripture. It's the most promoted of the spiritual gifts in Scripture, and it's the most connected gift with the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, spiritual prophecy is important. Right. And it's not just significant, within Scripture or throughout Scripture and for the church, but it's beneficial for us. It's very, very beneficial for us. So what is prophecy? It's not very difficult. It's very simple. The gift of prophecy is the supernatural imparted ability to hear the voice of Holy Spirit and speak God's mind or his counsel. Okay? And I do invite you, take notes. I hope I'm not going too fast. But take notes, take pictures up at the screen because we might speed through some of this here. But basically, God speaks, we prophesy. Okay? Now, looking at the purpose, what is the purpose of prophecy? If this is the spirit of prophecy is so significant, it's so emphasized throughout Scripture in the life of Christ, what is its purpose? And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 3 through 4 gives us the definitional purpose of prophecy. And it reads, but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. So the purpose of prophecy, what you should expect from the spirit of prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? It's not a platform and an opportunity to expose someone, to put someone down, or anything like that. Its goal should be to build up, encourage, and to comfort. Okay? Now, who can prophesy? Each and every one of us in this room, we all can prophesy. Amen? We are all called to prophesy. Every believer can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:31 says, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. All right? So this isn't for the selective few that feel like they can do it. This is for everyone. Okay? We're all called to it. In fact, God's, from the very heart of God, his dream is that in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29, it reads, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Right? So this very scripture expresses a dream from the very heart of God. God doesn't just want two or three or a selected group of people to, you know his thoughts and his hearts and his words. God's dream for humanity is that every son and every daughter shall prophesy. Amen. So this is why we can't afford to despise the spirit of prophecy. And again, we're just laying a foundation here, right? So we can't afford to have disdain towards the spirit of prophecy or disregard towards it or think that it's optional for us, right? And in fact, this is something that should be desired. This is something that we're called to desire, something that we're called to urge and to stir up, something that we're called to use. Amen? And sometimes I think it's our personal experiences, maybe past experiences that kind of made us sour towards the spirit of prophecy. Or sometimes it's just a spirit of error, you know, our misunderstanding of the spirit of prophecy. And it could also be this indifference or disdain may come out of a spirit of pride, or even false humility can become a trap to despise the spirit of prophecy. Oh, you know, that's for those who really need it. You know, they're really pressed. They need a word. I don't need a word because I'm good with Jesus. Like, we're good. So I don't need a word, you know. Or we make it such an occasional thing to get around the spirit of prophecy or to experience it. Well, you know, maybe once a month, maybe, you know, when it comes once a year, you know, or something like that. We make it a holiday or a special occasion when, in fact, this is something that the Word of God encourages us to lust after. God doesn't give us permission to lust over much, right? But He gives us permission to lust over the spirit of prophecy. What does that look like? God's saying that I want you to burn with desire for the spirit of prophecy. How often are we burning with desire, earnestly seeking, earnestly asking God, can you give me a word? Can you speak to me, God, that I can give this and impart this to someone else? Are we really earnestly seeking, burning with desire day after day for the spirit of prophecy? Because this is what we're called to, right? It's not my opinion. This is what it says in the Word of God. It says, do not despise prophetic utterances in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 20. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. In verse 29 of that chapter, it says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Amen. And now there is a protocol to the spirit of prophecy, okay? And when I think about this protocol, I think about, a system of rules, if you will, a filter, okay? You know, a procedure of how to do it, the manner in which we are doing it, okay? And if it's too much, we won't have time to hit every single one of these things on the list. But I do want to at least talk about love and obedience because I think they're so important. Okay, every single one of these things is significant and important. But you have to have love. You have to have obedience. But again, this protocol, think of it as a filter, the manner in which the spirit of prophecy can happen. Okay? Now, considering that, let's look at love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 says, if I have the gift of prophecy, right? That's what we're talking about here. And all manner of mysteries, and know all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love. God's instruction is to pursue love before He even tells us to earnestly desire this gift, right? Pursuing love comes first. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. Okay? When we are, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more when we go into the process of receiving the spirit of prophecy. But when you are receiving that revelation from the Lord, revelation doesn't just sit for us to hear a word, but we become the word. And God is love. So we need to have that same compassion of God. And again, this is the filter, right? And when you, let's look at obedience before I get a little too ahead of myself. Let's look at obedience. And in Ezekiel, most of you all will be pretty familiar with this. When we're speaking to the dry bones, and he's prophesying to the dry bones here. And in every command, the Lord is telling, speak into this, call into this. And I just wanted to emphasize in that scripture, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. I'm not adding to what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying. I'm not taking away from it, right? I'm going to be obedient to speak, obedient to release what it is that the Lord is saying. And that's really important when it comes to the spirit of prophecy. You know, the spirit of prophecy is not about our, you know, speaking out of our imagination. It's not speaking out of my personal preference. It's not speaking out of, you know, what I think will be accepted. What I think it won't be rejected. No, I speak what I hear the Spirit of the Lord say. Amen. So you prophesy as commanded by the Spirit of the Lord. And if you guys can just write this down, go back to it in your spare time. I just wanted to point out one of my heroes in the faith, Micaiah. If you're not familiar with this guy, you got to get to know him. Because this story, when you read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 22, it's kind of like coming into a picture of a soap opera. There's a lot of drama going on in this chapter, okay? And Micaiah, what I loved about this particular story is that this prophet, this man of God, had the opportunity to sway from what he knew the Lord was saying for popular opinion. You know, people. Sometimes what you have to release in the spirit of through the spirit of prophecy is not going to be popular. It's not going to be the echo that's in the room. It's not going to, be what you think this person over here is going to say. Yay, I received that. It don't always happen that way, okay? And what I love about this here in this story, when I talk about drama. He wasn't just bullied to sway what he needed to say. He was slapped in the face. He was thrown into prison. And yet he still needed to obey what the Lord was saying. Okay? Like I said, if you're not familiar with Micaiah, you need to get to know him. All right. Now, let's look at the process to release. What does this look like? If you know, and it's very simple, like these steps here. Anyone who is, you know, prophetic, called to be into the ministerial gift, as Pastor John mentioned out of Ephesians chapter 4, that ministerial office gift of a prophet. And let me just emphasize the difference there. There is a distinct difference between the ministerial office gift of a prophet to that of the spiritual gift of prophecy that we're talking about here today. Okay? Two very different things, but yet the office of a prophet, that ministerial gift, as mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, is going to operate in the spirit of prophecy. Does that make sense? Okay? Good to know. So let's start with revelation. Okay? It starts with revelation, goes into interpretation, leans into application, and ends in delivery. okay? And we're going to take a little bit of time just to break this down. Revelation is simply getting the message from God. It's God's revealed word, his revealed truth. This is God revealing himself to you. And this comes in many different ways, okay? God may reveal himself to you through your senses. He may give you a word. You may see. You may hear. He may just, speak in a particular way to you, right? But it's receiving the revelation. It is receiving the message from God, okay? Interpretation. And interpretation, usually when we just think about interpretation, we're like, well, it's what the word meant, right? But that's not what we're referencing here in the process to release, okay? So I want you to keep that in mind. There's two sort of definitions to interpretation. And the first, in which references here to the process of release, is that when I get that revelation, the message from God, the interpretation is what of that message I need to release, okay? So let me give you an example. If God is showing me, I'm getting a visual revelation I'm seeing something. You know, maybe God is showing me the letter B, and I'm in my spirit, I'm hearing a sound or a buzzing or something. He's revealing something to me. The interpretation is what it is, interpreting the message that I'm supposed to release. Does that make sense? So then to interpret that would be, I'm not going to just say, I see a letter B or I see this. No, the interpretation part of the spirit of prophecy is then hearing from the Lord, what about what I'm seeing or hearing that I'm supposed to release? Does that make sense? Amen? Let me know, because I want to make sure you get this, okay? I don't want anyone to leave confused. So we receive the revelation, and then we receive the interpretation. It's not our interpretation. Amen. It's God's interpretation. He is, the Spirit of God is giving us both the revelation and the interpretation. He's giving us the message, and then he's giving us that message is to be released. Because here's the thing, sometimes when God gives us revelation, he doesn't always give us permission to speak it. You know, sometimes there's things that God is going to show you and speak to you for someone else for prayer, not for you to speak it, but to pray it, right? There's more that he gives you as you lean in, God speaking to me, there's going to be something that he's going to give you an interpretation out of that to then share and to speak, right? All right. You guys are kind of quiet, so. All right. Now, application is getting the application for how to administer it into their lives or into an organization or for a group of people, right? And that can even start to manifest in other revelatory gifts, like the word of wisdom and instruction, okay? How to then give that word. You know, what is the steps that I'm giving that person as I'm giving them this word, okay? And again, all of this is not coming from us, it's coming from the Spirit of God, okay? And then delivery, and application and delivery can kind of go hand in hand, but I wanted to show the distinction between the two because I think delivery goes a little bit more into how we speak it. You know, how we express the message. And this can also be in a lot of different ways, you know, because that can look like a hand on someone. You know, that can look like, that can be dictated by the tone that we use. Okay, it can be, sometimes that happens through tears. Sometimes that happens through laughter. Okay? And so the delivery is important. And one thing I like to remind people as well is that, you know, we are responsible for the delivery. okay? We are responsible for how we give the word, because sometimes we can get the revelation right, the interpretation right, the application right, and the delivery wrong, and it can cause some problems, okay? So delivery is also important, part of the spirit of prophecy, that all of these things, and again, when you go back to that list of the protocol, I want to just make mention is that the value and the effort that you put into stewarding that list. Can you put that list? Okay. There's a little bit more I think I had than those things. Let me pull this up. Okay, yeah, there we go. We had to break it up. Okay. All right, let me go back to my list here. So when you look at love, character, authority, humility, self-control, integrity, purity, honor, obedience, faith, all of those things, the level in which you value to steward those things in your life is going to directly affect the purity and the clarity of the prophetic release. Okay? It's really important that we allow God to refine these areas of our life because this is, again, the filter for that prophetic release, right? All right. Now, getting that revelation, you say, well, Sharice, I'm not really sure if I know what's my thoughts. What's God's thoughts? I'm not really sure how to work this whole thing out when it comes to the spirit of prophecy. And I'm going to tell you, it all comes down to refining the discernment of hearing God's voice. Discerning the voice of God. Okay? And God speaks to all of us. And like I mentioned before, yes, he speaks to us all in different ways. But guess what? Even in the various different ways that God speaks, he knows how to speak to you. And God, you got to understand too, God not only like, you know, how he speaks to me may not be how he speaks to you. You know, he may call me beloved. He may call you lion-hearted. I don't know. You know, he may, you know, call you something else, but and he doesn't always come in that still small voice. He doesn't always come in a thundering voice, you know. But God knows how to speak to us, right? And he says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So no one's exempt, right, from having the ability to hear God. And I just want to squash that lie from the enemy that says, I can't discern the voice of God. I can't hear God, or I don't know when God's speaking. Yes, you can. Amen. And you need to come in agreement with that God says in his word, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, and he knows me. And so I know that I can hear from the Lord. Amen. And it's always great to discover new ways that God speaks to us. And God doesn't just do one thing in one way all the time. So yes, you know the way God speaks to you, and there may kind of seem to be a pattern that you can see. But guess what? God likes to switch things up too. And so don't get too comfortable in the idea that God only comes when my hand shakes and my and I feel a little tingle in my toes and then I see a vision, and it only comes in visions. You know, don't get used to that, because God will switch it up. And I love that. I hope that you guys do too. But I love discovering these ways that God speaks to me. You know, and it's kind of like, oh wow! But there's always that discerner, that you and your knower, that without a shadow of a doubt, this is the Spirit of God, right? No matter which way it may come, amen. And you guys can take note of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 that talks about the various different ways that he speaks. But let's talk about the process to receive a word, because we don't just release in the spirit of prophecy, we receive as well. So I wanted to help you guys out because I know that sometimes this is where things can get a little messy or get a little funky for us. But I just want to encourage you first and foremost to test the word. Test the word. How do you test the word? Test it, confirm it with the word of God, right? So you're looking to weigh that out. The word of God says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, okay? So we want to embrace the word of God. And again, you can be writing down these scriptures as we're going along and making these points here. And as we learn to weigh prophecies, even if the words themselves don't enter into our prophetic journey, the process will help us to evaluate our identity and purpose and will strengthen our resolve to believe what God is truly showing us. Okay? So when the word can be refined as it tests you, you know, or you feel like, you know, the word has to be tested. Sometimes when we receive a prophetic word, it doesn't happen in the time we think it's going to happen. It doesn't fully manifest in the time that we think it should happen. And that's, again, when we don't give up on that word, we don't despise it and say, you know what, that wasn't a word from God. Because sometimes we have to fight for that word. We have to contend for that word, okay? And we have to continue to say, no, I'm going to stand on this word that God spoke, and because I knew in my neuro when I heard it, it was confirmed that it was from God. I'm going to keep giving this to the Lord and laying it before him that this is your word, God. You spoke this, you're going to do it, and I'm going to stand and believe it until it comes into fruition. Amen? Amen. And even when I think about that, I kind of think about Daniel, where, you know, when the angel of the Lord came to him after the 3 weeks, and he says, no, I was there from day one, but I had to contend in the heavenlies, right, against principalities. So just keep that in mind when you're hearing a word, okay, from the Lord, and you may need to wait on that. Top tips that I want to give you in receiving a word is to listen carefully to the word. It's always good to record it. It's always good to, if you can get an audible recording of it, and go back and you write it out as well. And keep stirring that word in your spirit. Like I said, keep praying that word through until it comes. Okay, that's part of the embracing of the word. Okay? All right. Let's look at some other aspects here of how to grow. And all of these things is going to help you to grow in the prophetic, okay? And part of growing means that I'm going to have to walk by faith in this, okay? And faith is spelled R-I-S-K, if you didn't know. Okay? You're going to have to take some risks. You're going to have to get out your comfort zone. And what I love about, you know, Jesus is our great example. And, you know, when you look at his life and his ministry, he never did two miracles or two messages the same way, right? He always did it a little bit different and sometimes a bit unorthodox, to say the least, okay? He went against the grain, all right? Because there's always a new and deeper part of the Father's heart for us to be revealed. And again, you don't want to kind of just stick into a one way. I can only receive. I can only give this one way. God's not like that. And he doesn't speak to us like that. Okay, so sometimes you're going to have to take the risk. Actually, I'm going to say you're always going to have to take the risk. Okay, it's never always going to be in your comfort zone to release the word. And I'm going to tell you this too. Sometimes a lot of what you receive through the revelation just seems odd. It just doesn't make sense to you. Like I said, this is the other side of interpretation. You don't have the interpretation of what that means for the person, right? You just have the interpretation of the message you're supposed to release, right? And what you may release is like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means to you, but here when you release it and that sister or that brother says, oh yes, that resonates with me. I know exactly what that means. You know, it may be Bobcat and in the color purple, I don't know. But when they hear it, they know God is speaking to them, you know? And that's the beauty of God. I love that. It's so fun, you know, when you take that risk and you speak what God is saying. And then you get to see, you get to witness the work of the Holy Spirit. You didn't do it. You couldn't have done it. But it's the work of the Lord. And we get to be a part of that, right? Amen. Now, I will say this. We're going to make mistakes. I've made mistakes. Whether that's in the revelation part, the interpretation part, the application part, the delivery part. Okay, and because we are coming out of this New Testament church, right, we have accountability, we have forgiveness, right? And, you know, we're not prophets in the Old Testament being sent to death because we gave a wrong word, right? We have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, we have accountability, and we need to be able to receive that and give that, okay? And I'm not talking about someone speaking you know, completely off in a mess. If someone gives a word and it's off, or they said, I really feel like God has something for you. You have a sister. Yeah, and maybe it's not for, you're like, I don't have a sister. You know, and what they really should have interpreted that as is, you know, a sister in Christ or, you know, someone else. And as the word continues, it's like, oh, okay, it's hitting on it. You know, just because they got that part of it wrong doesn't make it, it doesn't mean that, oh, they're wrong, they're not hearing from God. It means that they need to fine tune their hearing and sensing in the spirit, that discernment, right? They need that to be fine tuned. And that's where, you know, practice comes into play, right? And practice is taking everything that I know about the protocol, everything I know about the process of releasing and putting it into practice. And I had a spiritual advisor when I was younger in college, and he used to always say, practice makes better practice. And I hated when he said that. I'm like, I want to get there. He's like, practice makes better practice. You know, but when you really allow that to sink in, you know, it means that, man, I need to keep on pursuing this, right? There's always more for me to learn. And I love this scripture, Philippians 4:9. Whatever you have learned and received and heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's our responsibility to stir this up within us. It's our responsibility not to neglect this gift of God, right? Because again, it is what God has called us to desire, to burn with desire for. And it's our responsibility to stoke that, right? And I just want to give you guys a couple of practical steps. So what can I do? How can I start to really put this into practice in my life, right? And the first thing I'm going to say is go to the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Because you know what? If we're talking about the spirit of prophecy really coming down to discerning the voice of God, discerning the Spirit of God, the best way you can sharpen your discernment is the Word of God. If you're saying, how can I sharpen my discernment? How can I understand better the voice of God, the ways of God, the will of God? It's the Word of God. This is where we learn God. This is how we get to know who He is and His nature. So I'm going to say, I would encourage you, if you want to get into the practice of the spirit of prophecy, get into your Word. Okay? And then also, yes, there's books, there's resources on the spirit of prophecy that I can, you know, get to, and then you can learn more of how that refining process is and growing in the prophetic. You definitely utilize those things. But also build yourself up in your heavenly language. Praying in tongues will actually help to usher in that spirit of prophecy as well. Okay? It'll unction the spirit of prophecy. So that's one way you can do that, by edifying yourself in the speaking of tongues. Again, take reference to these scriptures that are down here for each of these points as well. But you can ask the Lord, God, what are you saying today? Lord, what's on your heart, Father? God, what are you speaking to the church? We can ask God these things and allow the spirit of prophecy to come forth, right? We can get under the umbrella or the company of the prophetic. Get around prophetic people and you're going to begin to prophesy. Okay, we see that very clearly in 1 Samuel 10, 5 through 11. Saul, he didn't get prophesied over, but as soon as he got in the company of prophets, what happened? He began to prophesy, right? Another thing is to practice in safe places, okay? Practice amongst those other mature believers that, you know, aren't going to tear you down and say, oh, you got that wrong, and so, you know, you're on timeout. But those that can test the word that you're giving right along with you, okay, that's being in a safe place. One very practical thing that each and every one of us can do starting today is to begin to write a letter to yourself from God. God, what are you saying for me? And I promise you, if you do that every week, you know, if you do that as often as you can in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be sharpening that fine-tuning how God is speaking to you. Okay? Now, the last thing is allowing for the refining process. And when I'm talking about refining process is, God, that transformation of where I need to grow in the maybe those areas that we talked about on the protocol of the prophetic, where we're now allowing God to refine us in this, refine my faith, God, refine my humility, you know, refine this, the areas of how I honor and, prefer someone over myself. You know, allow God to do the work, Holy Spirit to do business in our hearts so that we can look at more like him, so we can sound more like him, right? So these are ways in which we can practically put into practice growing in the prophetic and the use of our the gift of spiritual gift of prophecy. Okay, so I hope this was helpful. I hope you learned something and that we're able to just build from here. Amen. So I just want to pray over us. Jesus, would you come into our hearts?